Okay, welcome to this evening's shiur. I permit to Shem, it's going to be an interesting and insightful shiur because a little bit of a different shiur because this year Purim is definitely different and more interesting than it usually is. I'd like to start with something that I thought of. We know that we're in the year Taf Shin Pei Aleph, correct? 5781. I was thinking the Taf Shin Pei Aleph is Rosh Pevos. It's an acronym for Tehei Shnas Purim Amiti. It should be a year of a genuine Purim. That's my little understanding of Taf Shin Pei Aleph. Tehei Shnas Purim Amiti. We shouldn't feel that it's not a regular Purim or that it's not a usual Purim. We should all feel the happiness and the regularity of Purim on some level. That's just my little insight into this year's Purim. I want to talk.
We need to drink 2 bottles of wine now?
Each person needs to do what they need to do to feel Purim. If you need to drink 2 bottles of wine to feel Purim, then of course you should drink 2 bottles of wine.
Okay.
I mean, we're not going to talk about this tonight, but it does say you should get inebriated and intoxicated until you don't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. I don't think 2 bottles will do that. I think you need more.
So do some, right?
I always tell my students that if I would go to Rutgers on Thirsty Thursday and over to any yeshiva kid, I'd be like, Arur, and they'll be like, Haman. I don't care how wasted they are. You have to understand actually what that means, but that's not really what today's shiur is about. You have to wait until next year when we do a shiur about intoxication. Keep you in suspense. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to mention, although the shiur is not about this, because we did have a shiur about this. I think last year, 2 years ago, we spoke about the idea, the concept about using microphones and telephone and teleconferencing for different dvarim shadchi of different obligatory matters. I don't think any of us dreamed that it was as practical as it actually is, but I will say just a very brief overview of the opinions about being Yotze Megillah on Zoom. Let's just begin by saying that it's not simple, and that if a person is able to go to a live Megillah reading, they certainly should not go to Zoom, where it's questionable if they even are Yotze the Mitzvah. With that being said, I will quote a few opinions as to the ability to fulfill one's mitzvah of listening to Megillah via Zoom. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the great posek from Yerushalayim, passed away about 23 years ago. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, you are not Yotze. You do not fulfill your mitzvah at all unless you hear the direct voice of the Kore, the fellow reading the Megillah. Similarly, for shofar also, unless you hear the direct sound of the shofar, you don't fulfill your mitzvah. And therefore, he says, you can't use a microphone, you can't do it on the radio, you can't do it on a computer, you can't do it on a telephone. And if one does, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach holds that he does not fulfill his mitzvah. Rav Tzvi Paisach Frank, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim a while back, Rav Tzvi Paisach Frank says that he's not sure, but it's possible that you could fulfill your mitzvah, because the bottom line is the sound just has to come because of the efforts of the kore, of the reader, and it has to also be simultaneous. So he says when you speak on a microphone, the sound that's coming out of the microphone, even though it may not be the sound of the reader, but it's still because of his voice that the sound is coming out. So as long as you're hearing it at the same time, it is just a minimal delay. Rav Tzvi Paisach wonders if maybe you are Yotze. However, he does say that if you're hearing it on a delay, you are not Yotze. So therefore, on radio, on a recording, definitely one is not Yotze the mitzvah of. Even though Rav Shlomo Zalman holds you don't fulfill your mitzvah, he does write that he met Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish wanted to differentiate between what the Gemara calls Kol Havara. I don't really want to get into the whole sugya, but by Tkiyah Shofar, the Gemara says you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar if you hear the sound of an echo. You have to hear the actual sound itself. And that's one of Shlomo Zalman's issues, that when you're hearing a sound, a digital sound, you're hearing an amplified sound, you're not hearing the actual sound itself, and it's no different than hearing an echo. And Chazon Ish tried to be mechalek, he tried to differentiate between kol habara, the sound of an echo that you hear after the person has already spoken, to the sound of a microphone or a telephone, which you perhaps hear immediately. My kids told me, I don't know that this is true, that Zoom is on delay. So maybe Zoom is a little bit worse than a microphone or a telephone. I'm not sure. Also, I think it depends on your bandwidth and your connection, how quickly you get the sound of the fellow. Lamaisa Ramaisha Feinstein, Lahalacha, not about Zoom, but about a microphone, says that there's a possibility that one could fulfill their mitzvah, but one, we do not rule this way. and therefore we should not paskin that you could fulfill your mitzvah on the phone or on a microphone. A cookie one is, you would say. And he says, the bottom line is, we have to be extremely careful when we give psakim, when we issue halachic rulings, even in situations of need, such as Zoom, because the consequences of people jumping to conclusions and saying, hey, if you did that on Zoom, so let's do a minion on Zoom, which clearly you cannot do a minion on Zoom. A minion is not unless you have 10 people live. So Rav Moshe says, like, you know, you say one thing and people all of a sudden have 1,000 other things about Zoom. So, or not natural voices. So Rav Moshe says, even though there is perhaps a tzad, the possibility of one fulfilling their mitzvah, however, he says one should protest of those people who are trying to change the format of the shul with microphones, telephones, if one can. With that being said, clearly these are not regular times. And this the letter that's going around is the letter from the Bezin in London, the London-based in, that did permit people who really cannot show up to shul. They're immunocompromised, they're homebound, they're sick, they're COVID patients perhaps. So the Bezin in London was matir them, if they had no other choice, to listen on Zoom, preferably read along on a kasher Megillah. That makes it very different. But there is such a letter. I did see the letter, and they basically write that it's better than nothing. If you have no other option, at least you have those opinions, like the opinion of Tzvi Pesach Frank, that maybe permits it. Interestingly enough, if you're Ashkenazi, if you're Svadi, Rav Avadi Yosef was unequivocal that you cannot fulfill your mitzvah unless it's a live voice. So I said I wouldn't give a talk, and I wouldn't take too much time to dwell on it, but just to know that there's a very big machlokas and rov tzedakim. The vast majority of halachic decisors are not satisfied with anything on Zoom, but there is what to rely on, the few opinions. So if one has nothing, perhaps that's better than nothing. However, it does create additional shilas, which is what we're going to talk about momentarily. We know that when we finish the Megillah, we make a bracha called Harav Es Rivenu. We did a shiur just on this bracha about 4 or 5 years ago. The bracha of Harav Es Rivenu, where we thank Hashem for fighting our fights, for exacting our judgment on our behalf, for exacting vengeance on our behalf, etc., etc. The Rama paskins that you cannot say this bracha unless you have a tzibur, unless you have a minyan, you have a congregation, then you'd say the bracha after Megillah. However, if one's a yachid, one reads the Megillah as an individual, there's no minyan, you don't say Harav Es Rivenu. The Bir Halacha, Chofetz Chaim, brings down the Eliyahu Rabbah that one could make this bracha even biyachin, even as an individual. And we'll see in a minute what this may hinge upon. You know, let's say it right now. So Rav Baruch Soloveitchik explained, and he said, because this is what we talked about a few years ago, we have to understand the essence of this bracha. What is this bracha of Harav Es Rivenu? Because there's two different ways to understand it. One is that Megillah reading is like reading from the theme work Suvim. And the same way that when we read the Haftorah, when we conclude the Haftorah, we make a special bracha, a series of brachas. We do it every Shabbos, every fast day. So this bracha of Harav Es Rivenu is the same exact thing. It's a bracha that's recited after reading Navi or Ksuvim. So says Rav Baruch Soloveitchik. Or perhaps it has nothing whatsoever to do with the Haftorah, but it's just a bracha that was instituted a Birkas Hoda, Birkas HaShvach, actually, praising Hashem for the incredible miracle that we survived and that we're bound yet another year to read the Megillah. So it would depend on this very substantially. If you learn that it is a bracha that's recited after the Haftorah, kind of that type of bracha, so then let's say you have a minion of women that's listening to Kriyas HaTorah from a man, not to get at the issues of ladies reading Megillah, it's not this year. So you have a man who's reading Megillah for 10 women. Could they make the bracha of Harav Es Rivenu? If it's like the blessing after the Haftorah, unquestionably not. You can't make the bracha after the Haftorah unless you have a minyan of men. But if it's just a bracha thanking Hashem that was instituted to be said publicly, what could be 10 women is also considered public. And therefore, perhaps one should say the bracha of Harav Es Rivenu, even if there are no men there. It's just, or just man, one man, and the rest of them are women. So according to this, it would be the same shayla on Zoom. If you say that it's a bracha after the Haftorah, you clearly do not recite a bracha if you have 10 people participating via Zoom. It's not considered a minyan. There is nobody that will tell you, not a single halachic society that I have ever heard of, that will tell you if you have 10 different people participating on Zoom that you could say Kaddish or Kedusha or Lane or Baruch. It's not a minyan. And it's a virtual, but it's not minyan. But if you say that the bracha was instituted because of the Pirsume Nisa, the publicized Nisa, and it was instituted that you have to have a group of people, well, then maybe Zoom is considered a group of people. And you could say the bracha of Haravetz Rivenu, even though the people are not physically with one another, because it is still considered Baradin. It is public, and it's a public display of the Nisa. So perhaps it's mut. Reb Asher Weiss, he should be gesund, as well as Reb Herschel Schachter, have a shiloh that's very similar to that. To this, and that is gomel. You know, if a person goes through a difficult situation, they were sick and they recover, or they flew, or whatever it is, they have to make a gomel. So somebody asked both of them if during COVID times one could do gomel over Zoom. And Rav Asher Weiss writes in a tshuva that since the whole point of gomel is to publicize the miracle and publicly express one's gratitude to Hashem, so he says if there's no other option, let's say the person's quarantined because they just traveled, or they're sick and they're contagious, then the halacha is, says Rav Asher Weiss, you could do a gomel on Zoom because of the publicity of the miracle. So possibly the same thing is with Haravas Rivenu as well. If you have 10 people on Zoom, perhaps halachically you could say the bracha of Haravas Rivenu, at least according to that understanding. I think the appropriate approach would be that if you do have a group of 10 people on Zoom, that you should say the bracha of Haravas Rivenu, but you should not say it with Shema Malchus. You shouldn't say it with Hashem's name, just in case you're not supposed to say it. But you're still getting something by saying it without Hashem's name, which we do find in halacha is a pshara, is a compromise about an individual. So certainly if you have 10 people on Zoom, you could say Haravetz Rivenu, but you probably should say it without a bracha, so you don't get yourself into any major shayla in halacha. Another fascinating shayla in halacha that very well could apply nowadays is we know the Gemara says that a person is chayv likros ha-megillah u'lishnos ha-beyom. A person has to read the Megillah at night and then repeat the Kriya Samegillah during the day. So we hear Megillah twice, as she says, that we learn out from a pasuk, and therefore we do one at night and we do one in the day. You have to do Megillah twice. Now what happens to a person if, for whatever the reason is, let's just say he's in quarantine, and the quarantine is lifted on Purim morning. He didn't hear Megillah the night before, and now he comes to shul to hear Megillah. He's finally able to go. And there's two minyanim in the shul. Is there a reason for this fellow to hear the Megillah twice on Purim Day to make up as a tashlumin to reciprocate for the Megillah reading that he missed the previous night? So interestingly enough, the Birkei Yosef has this question. And he says, if a person for some reason can't make it to shul, they're traveling and they come back to town and they miss Megillah, he wants to bring an opinion that says you have to hear the Megillah the next day twice. The Svas Emes points out that it's fascinating if you look carefully at the expression, the Lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say, Chayav Adam Likras Es HaMegillah B'yom U'Laila U'B'yom. One is obligated to read the Megillah by night and by day, to hear the Megillah by night and by day. It says, Chayav Adam Likras Es HaMegillah B'Laila U'Lishnosa B'yom. And to repeat it by the day. So it seems like there's a point of repeating the Megillah. So if so, it's a Svas Emes. Maybe you could say that even if a person wasn't able to do it at night, but he doesn't have the lichnosa, he doesn't have the repeating it, so he should do it twice by then. So he wonders. So it's a good shaila. I'm not sure what halacha is l'maisa. If a fellow for some reason can't hear Megillah at night, if maybe he should hear Megillah two times the next day. This year happens to be much easier because so many shuls are having so many multiple Megillah readings to keep people distant and safe and make the minyanim smaller. So it wouldn't be so hard for a person to get two Megillahs. If this applies to anyone practically, they should probably ask their LOR, local Orthodox rabbi, if their shul has one. And if not, there's plenty of other wonderful people to ask. Okay. Talk about another very interesting shaila as well. First of all, there's a machlekes between Tosfos and the Rambam if we make Shehachiyanu when we read the Megillah during the day. Right? Everyone agrees you make Shehachiyanu when you read the Megillah the first night. But the question is, if you also recite Shehachiyanu the next day. So the Mechaber Paskins, the Rav Yosef Kairo, the Sfardi Posek Paskins, that we do not make the Bracha of Shehachiyanu by day, and Sfardim do not say the Bracha of Shehachiyanu by day nowadays. The Ramah, however, Paskins that a person should say the Bracha of Shehachiyanu even by day. Now, if let's say somebody doesn't have a Megillah, so the Namuke Yosef writes that, in other words, he doesn't have Megillah Purim night, so he never heard Megillah Purim night, and now he comes to Shul on Purim day. Says the Namuke Yosef, he has to make a bracha of Sheachianu. Let's say he's davening in the Svardi Shul. Halacha is, he still has to make a bracha of Sheachianu, because everyone else had the Sheachianu the night before. But this fellow didn't, or more than that, let's say guy doesn't have a Megillah at all. Says the Namuke Yosef, he has to say Sheachianu. Why does he have to say Sheachianu? Because the same way on Yom Kippur we make a Sheachianu at night, right? When we start the Yantif. So now on Purim, we usually do it with Megillah. But this fellow never did a Sheachianu. Not on Megillah, not on anything. So therefore, says the Namuke Yosef, he has to say a Sheachianu the next day. Now when should he make it? So he says the best time to make it is when you wash for motzi, for your meal, on Purim day. Wash, make hamotzi, make Sheachianu, and eat. So writes the Namuke Yosef. But there's really an added layer to this, because the Magen Avraham does what we writes, what we all do by shul. If you go to any Ashkenazi shul, on Purim day, right before Mikra Megillah, the Gabbai gets up there, or the guy reading the Megillah, maybe the rabbi, they give a clap on the bima, and he says, when the Chazan says, when the Baal Kore says the Bracha of Sheachianu by Kriyas the Megillah, everyone should have in mind that they want that Sheachianu to go not just on Mikra Megillah, but on all the mitzvahs of the day. And those three mitzvahs, that the Sheachianu should go on those. According to this, if a guy for some reason is on Zoom, so he's not around, and maybe the Sheachianu that he heard doesn't count, maybe he has to make a Sheachianu for the mitzvahs of the day, for the Matanas Levionim, for the Mishloach Manos, and for the Sudas Purim. However, the Muke Yosef says it's maybe not an amazing thing to do that. I think the Bir Halacha also says that it's probably preferable. No, the Bir Halacha says one should say Sheachianu. Lemaisa, Halacha Lemaisa, it seems like the poskim are not thrilled about saying Sheachianu, but if one wanted to, they probably would have a lot to rely on. And I would say that this Shaila is also a Shaila that should be asked to one's L-O-R, their local Orthodox rabbi, if they're not going to be hearing the Megillah, if they should make Sheachianu. Or if they're hearing the Megillah on Zoom, do they have to make Sheachianu? Could they still be Yote within the Sheachianu of the Baal Koreh on Zoom or not? This is a really practical Shaila and a good Shaila. Now, you don't even realize how amazing this particular Shaila really is, because the Gemara tells us in the Sechas and the Megillah, Gemara asks the question, how come we don't say Halal on Purim? We say Halal on Hanukkah, which is a rabbinic holiday, so we should say holiday on Purim. So one answer the Gemara gives, which is the final answer of the Gemara, is Lekriyasa Zuhi Hilu, that the reading of the Megillah, incorporated in reading the Megillah, is Halal. So the post can wonder, if a fellow cannot hear Megillah, for whatever the reason is, they're not able to come to shul, or whatever, they can't hear Megillah, do they have to say Halal on Purim? Because us, the people that come to shul, or are fortunate to go to shul and hear from someone live, those people, the reading the Megillah is like saying Halal. They don't have to say Halal. But if a person doesn't hear the Megillah, then they don't have Halal. You're supposed to say Halal on Purim. So maybe those people have to say Halal. More than that, maybe they have to say Halal with a bracha. We say Halal with a bracha on Purim, on a Hanukkah. Maybe they have to say Halal with a bracha. So the Meiri writes that one does have to say Halal, and it seems like even with a bracha, if they don't hear Kriyas Megillah. Shari Tshuva brings this Meiri, and he says that the Birkei Yosef does not agree with this Meiri. However, he says, he feels that a person should say halal, but without a bracha. Now, more than that, even if a fellow read the Megillah from a chumash, halacha is, they should still say halal. There's a very strong possibility that a person should say halal if they're not yotzei mikra Megillah, if they cannot hear the Megillah, maybe there is a reason that they should say halal. Now, if a person heard it on Zoom and wants to be yotzei with their opinions, if they still have to say halal, it can't hurt. Particularly because we rule that you're supposed to say halal without a bracha. There's nothing wrong with saying halal without a bracha. So I would recommend if a person is only able to hear Mikra Megillah on Zoom, they should say halal without a bracha, but they should say halal just in case they hold like Rav Shlomo Zalman or Rav Ovadia Yosef or others that say you're not Yotzei, they have an obligation to say halal, so they should say halal. Isn't that fascinating? Whoever thought that they would ever say halal on Purim? It's not even in the Purim Machzor. I mean, there is no Purim Machzor, but if there was a Purim Machzor, maybe the halal wouldn't even be in there. Another question that we want to discuss momentarily. If let's say a person read the Megillah by themselves, a guy can't come to shul, so he takes his Megillah and he reads his Megillah. And now he finds out that there is a socially safe Megillah reading outdoors he didn't know about. And now he has an opportunity to go there. He already fulfilled his mitzvah, mikra Megillah. You could fulfill your mitzvah from reading from a Megillah at home. But everyone agrees that it's better to do it at Tzibur. Once he fulfilled his mitzvah already, is there even an inyan? Is there a reason whatsoever for this fellow to go to shul, the outdoor minyan, the porch minyan, the sanctioned porch minyan, and here Megillah again in its Tzibur? Here Megillah with 10. So this is a very big, amazing shaila. And I will tell you that ordinarily, without even looking further, I would have said right away that this depends on the piece from the Brit Sker Rav, because the Brit Sker Rav has a very, very famous shaila. When we speak about Hidur, when the Hidur is doing the mitzvah in a more beautiful, upgraded way, is the Hidur part of the actual mitzvah itself? That means when you light menorah, behidur, that means the actual mitzvah of menorah is upgraded because you're lighting it in a better way? Or is there two separate things? There's the mitzvah of lighting menorah, and there's an additional mitzvah of doing Hidur. Where's going to be the practical difference? Let's say a guy lit his menorah and he only had one candle on the fifth night. That's not bad. That's okay. And now someone brings him five candles after he finishes his menorah, went out already. Someone brings him five candles. Is there a point in him lighting? If you say that Hidur is part of the Maisa mitzvah, it's part of the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles, it's pointless to light again. You already lit. But if you say Hidur is independent, doing an upgraded, more beautiful way of the mitzvah is independent of the mitzvah itself. It's another mitzvah. So, okay, you've fulfilled your mitzvah simply. Now do the Hidur. I light five candles. So, initially, I would say that this depends on this. If you say that Hidur is its own separate concept or mitzvah, then even if a guy read Megillah as an individual, but he could still do Hidur. He could still hear Megillah again in a more beautiful way. But if you say the Hidur is part of the actual mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, once he fulfilled his mitzvah reading the Megillah, it's pointless to go into it. What I would have said. However, the Achronim talk about this a little bit more substantially. They actually bring up Brit Sker Rav. The Brit Sker Rav learns and he says something very interesting. He says he wonders why it is that by Kriyas HaTorah, if a person makes even a small mistake, we correct them. Go back, read that pasuk, you mispronounced the word, at least according to the opinion of what we passed. Rambam, not Pari. But when it comes to Megillah, the halacha is explicitly that we don't correct the Baal Koreh. Baal Koreh makes a mistake, we don't have to correct. As the Brit Sker Rav. If it's Kriya, just like Kriya said Torah, then you should correct. So the Brit Sker Rav is mechadash, a tremendous thing. He says reading Megillah is not the same as Kriya said Torah. It's not the same like a reading. The whole point of Kriya said Megillah, the way he says, it's the cheftza of Pirsumei Nisa. The essence of reading the Megillah is Pirsumei Nisa, is publicizing. So as long as you have the Pirsumei Nisa, you have people getting together and banging by Haman and reading Haman and everyone clapping when Haman is hung and saying the 10 sons of Haman, you still have the Pirsumei Nisa. So even if you don't have every single word, 100%, the Pirsumei Nisa is still there. So according to this, perhaps we could say that even though ordinarily maybe the understanding is that Hidur Mitzvah, beautifying the Mitzvah, is part of the Mitzvah, and therefore maybe it's pointless for a person to hear the Megillah a second time in a minyan. But here, maybe we would say he should, because it is Pirsumei Nisa. He had a previous Megillah with no Pirsumei Nisa. And that lacks in the essence of the Megillah itself, because, like we said before, the Megillah is a chefta Pirsumei Nisa. By definition, its essence is Pirsumei Nisa. He had a Megillah without Pirsumei Nisa, so then maybe it would behoove this fellow to have a Megillah with Pirsumei Nisa, which is really the genuine way to have Megillah, and maybe he should try to hear it with a minyan. If I want to conclude by giving one small insight and asking why it is that Megillah is called Pirsumei Nisa. Why does the Brit Sker Rav say that Megillah is a chefta? The essence of Megillah is Pirsumei Nisa. So the Achronim say something very beautiful. That by the miracle of Hanukkah, for example, everyone knew it was enough. It was only enough combustible fuel to burn for one day, and it burns for 8 days. Less mandapali. There's no way to argue that that's not enough. However, by the story of Purim, it could have been a beautiful Broadway show, Lahavdil, with poor Jewish orphaness that becomes the queen, and she saves her people, and everyone lived happily after ever, and they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. We don't necessarily see when reading the story, the Yad of Hashem. God's name is not in the Megillah. Okay, every time it says HaMelech, it refers to Hashem, perhaps. Therefore, the Chachamim instituted, no, get together, bring men and women and children, and everyone should be a part of it so that it sparks a conversation. Why are we doing this? The answer is we're celebrating the miracle. What miracle? It's just a Broadway show. The answer is no, it's not a Broadway show. The whole Megillah is like the word Megillas Esther. Megillah is legalos, to reveal Esther, that which is hidden. The whole point of the Megillah is to see the hand of Hashem, the fingerprints of divinity behind what just looks like an amazing story. That has to be done publicly. So we spark the conversation. So we get people talking and we realize that it's not Teva. It's not nature. It's not a series of events. It's not happenstance. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. I conclude with a tefillah to Hashem that amidst Hashem, each and every one of us should continue to see the Yad Hashem in the story of Purim. See the Yad Hashem in our own lives. And like I began, Tehei Tavshin Pei Aleph, Tehei Shnas Purim Amiti, be a genuine, beautiful, wonderful Purim, Afreilichim Purim, Alechtigim Purim, Purim Sameach Tal. Thank you.
Yashikach, Rabbi.
Thank you very much, Okor. Thank you.